Following is a remastered version of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Tune in to our live show every Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Pulse Gamecast, episode 45. I'm your host, Gradol. Today's record date is Tuesday, October 7th, 2014. Of course, Jay, as happens with both of us, real life has gotten in the way and beat us about the head and shoulders, and Jay is not going to be with us tonight, so this is... if you're listening to this, you're obviously listening to it on iTunes or Stitcher, as we did not broadcast this live. Jay is my broadcaster. So we'll just jump into it like we always do and start with what we've been playing and whatnot. Jay did throw some show notes out there. I guess he knew things were going to be bad at work and I just wanted to prep just in case. So for Jay, he has that he played some EQ2 and played his Ranger. He actually typed it out like that. I know he's enjoying the Ranger. Shootiness, the ranged shooty bits and whatnot, so he's enjoying that. He says he also read up on D&D. He bought the box set. This was the little $20 box set they put out, kind of condensed rules a little bit. Bought the box set and downloaded the two guides. I was hoping he was going to be here because I'm not for sure what the two guides are, but I'm very, very curious as to what that is. This weekend, this Saturday, my normal game that I talk about occasionally, the D&D game, we're playing Savage Tide, the 3.5 big campaign. We're going to take a break, and I think we're going to play a little quickie intro adventure for 5th edition that one of the guys is going to run, so that'll be interesting to check out and see. I guess I need to download the stuff myself and get cracking on that. As for me, as of yesterday, finished Bioshock Infinite's Burial at Sea Episode 2 DLC. I've talked about Episode 1 a lot, and this is it's not a spoiler. It's in the title and right on the little picture of the DLC itself, but this is where you as Booker and Elizabeth go to Rapture from the original Bioshock video game. So I finished Episode 1 a long time ago, and I just had a bad feeling about Episode 2. Not that it would be a bad DLC or anything like that, but, you know, there would be some kind of big heart-breaking, heart-wrenching twist, and there was. So I posted a little thing on it, and I just said, you know, finish the episode, all the feels. So finished that. Now, it was good, and I was actually very, very surprised because it was huge. Episode 2 alone, I believe when I downloaded it, it was 1.5, maybe even 2 gigs, just Episode 2. When I went back and looked at the achievements through Steam that you can get for Episode 2, I apparently missed a few things, like collecting, you know, if you're familiar with Bioshock, you know the Vox recordings, the little tape player looking things. I apparently missed a couple of those and a few other little things here and there that were mostly just collection or shiny findings. But I did everything. I explored every room. I went, you know, when you'd walk into a business in Rapture, I went to all the side rooms and the basements and the offices overlooking the floor, and I checked out everything. And I would say easily, between all my playtime on Episode 2, I probably spent at least 5 to 6 hours. It was big. When I first bought these, each DLC, Episode 1 and 2, were $15 a pop, I believe. And since then, of course, you can get the Season Pass, which gives you all the DLC, and more than likely, you can find them at a reduced price on Steam or Amazon or something like that, which, of course, just... you buy it on Amazon, but you download it on Steam. You can find those in packages and whatnot. So, very, very worth it. Very worth it based on just the length of the game in episode 2, so highly recommended. This isn't a spoiler, but I will just say that Burial at Sea episode 2 actually kind of wraps up BioShock as a franchise. It was very nicely done. Very nicely done. And of course, Team Fortress 2, that's, you know, my mental palate cleanser, as it were. Just come home, don't have to think about anything, don't have to plan out what I want to do. Just get in there and comedically PvP it up, and then that's what I did. So, not a whole lot of gaming going on for me this week, and this doesn't really fit the purview of our show, but, you know, we're in the fall TV season now, and there's some really good stuff on TV, so I've been watching a lot more TV than I usually do. Of course, you know, Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Sleepy Hollow, those are probably more the geekily, gamely related type shows. Oh, and Gotham. I'm actually liking Gotham. You know, a lot of people were like, oh, is it just going to be, you know, like, I don't even know, insert generic cop drama here set in Gotham. And to an extent it is, but it's really good. I am really enjoying it. And of course, it's, you know, Gotham, but it's young Bruce Wayne, so we don't get to see any Batman-ness, but I highly recommend it. It's a good show. Good show. Oh, and also this past weekend, Saturday, I talked about this on the last episode. My group, my D&D group, we played our first game, our second edition AD&D game. Now I can kind of talk about it a little bit more because I know two of the guys listen to the show. But we played Ravenloft's Night of the Walking Dead module, second edition TSR module, actually. So it went well. We played for a really long time. We started about 1:30 in the afternoon, played till almost 11:30 at night. But we got the module knocked out. I don't know if, I'm sure all of our sessions won't be super marathon sessions like that, but I'm up for it if they are. But it was nice. It was really good. If you ever played the old D&D, you know, some would say the real D&D, then it was really nice to jump back into the old stuff. I've been studying it, reading the DM's guide, the player's handbook, the module. Thought I was good to go. And of course, you know, any RPG, players throw you for a loop. They just do something totally unexpected and just make you have to think and plan and run on the cuff. But it was fun. I think the guys enjoyed it. We seemed to have a good time. So yeah, it was really nice to jump into some spooky second edition Ravenloft, which is the setting I feel Ravenloft really, really shone in. No, you know, it did originally appear in a first edition under the module I-6, which was called House of Strahd, written by Tracy and Laura Hickman of primarily Dragonlance fame. And then it just became so popular that they turned it into its own setting with own modules, source books, rule books, and supplements and whatnot. So, you know, if you're looking to get in some old school D&D, especially with this being October and Halloween coming up, I highly recommend checking out Ravenloft. As a matter of fact, if you go to, just Google it, but if you go to the old D&D sites like dnddownloads.com, I believe the module I ran, Night of the Walking Dead, you can download for free. So download it, check it out. It's good stuff. Good times. Alrighty, let's move on to news. As I said, Jay knew he was not going to, probably not going to make the show, so he loaded it up, news and geeky stuff for us this week. So let's start with his stuff. So the first thing that he put in is an announcement from NVIDIA, you know, GPU, graphics card manufacturer. If you're any kind of PC gamer, you know NVIDIA. That's also my preferential manufacturer. I prefer NVIDIA's EVGA GTX models, as a matter of fact. But NVIDIA announced that their newest graphics cards, which are the 980 and the 970, they are making a laptop version with the 980M and the 970M. So let's see here. Let's just pull this off the site a little bit. They claim that it will offer 75% of the performance of the desktop modules and will be, I guess, power, I don't know how to say it. It won't use as much power, so it will help with the battery life of the laptop. I'd always wondered that, these kind of pumped up video cards and laptops, I wonder if they suck down the battery, and I'm guessing the answer is yes, since they're making a specific point to point out and to engineer it to where it may not, you know, drain your battery as quickly. As a matter of fact, they say that, let's see here. Well, let's see. They don't actually give a rough estimate of power usage, but they say that it will provide twice the use or twice the performance of the GTX 680M. And the 980M and 970 will actually offer resolutions of up to 1440p. That's pretty good. They will also support DirectX 12 when that launches, which I believe is sort of kind of soonish. That's pretty nice. I personally can't imagine gaming on a laptop. I know Jay does. He does game on a laptop. Now, and I'm sure he, you know, as he always says, give his left kidney for one of these cards, because I'm sure that if they're anything like the desktop module or the desktop equivalent, you know, we're pushing, maybe getting close to a grand on these things, but hey, laptop equivalent of 1440p, that's not bad. Hey, there you go. So look for that. Let's see here. They don't actually say when it is launching, but I believe it is soon. It is soon. So if you're looking for some kind of, here it is, I'm sorry. The company claims the battery life increases of up to 40% with one of the 980M or 970Ms. So I guess they really have engineered the power draw in these things. So, hey, not bad. Check it out. I'm sure you can find plenty of info on NVIDIA.com. And as usual, Jay has, of course, included a link in the show notes. Let's move on. Let's see here. His next thing that he has is a little deal that Ubisoft put out, I believe it was, Ubisoft, in reference to Assassin's Creed Unity. And you've probably seen this in the news, various gaming sites. It's kind of making the rounds because it's kind of funny, in that Ubisoft has said that for Assassin's Creed Unity, that they are locking the graphics on this thing at 900p. That's it. That's whether you're playing on the PlayStation or on the Xbox, and that is exactly why they're doing it. They don't want the debate. Well, it's better over here. Well, no, it's better on this console. They're locking it in, so it's the same on everyone, so there's no need to go up in arms, blah, 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 blah. Now, with that being said, one of the employees at Ubisoft apparently kind of jumped the gun or went out on his or her own to make that comment, and Ubisoft as a company is saying, hold on a second. They have said that it's not quite as locked in as this person has said. And they're not saying they're going to, they're not saying they're not going to, but there is a chance that it could go beyond that resolution. So take from that what you will, but like I said, it's been kind of making the rounds. Oh, well, they're just getting rid of the debate and blah, 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 blah. So I did find that kind of funny. I thought that was humorous. And so yeah, we'll see how that goes. We'll see how that plays out. Moving on, Jay put links in here for the PlayStation TV that's dropping. This is kind of neat, and I know Jay has talked about it on previous episodes. So what the PlayStation TV is going to be is a standalone and or separate unit that will stream slash download video games for you to play on. Now, it is standalone from your PlayStation. I don't know, honestly, if the two will work in tandem. I don't think they will. So you're saying, well, why not buy a PlayStation TV instead of a PS4? Well, here's why. Because the PlayStation, the PSTV, is truly just a streaming device. That's all it does. You download games to it. That's it. There is no disc drive, no Blu-ray player. You can't buy a disc, slap it in there, and play the game. You have to download the game. How do you download the game? The PlayStation TV has a built-in wireless adapter, you know, 802.11. It'll run, BGNN Wi-Fi signal. It has HDMI out. It has an Ethernet port as well if you don't want to bust out the Wi-Fi. Let's see here. You do need a PlayStation, what does PlayStation call it? The account. Ugh, I'm a PS3 owner and I totally forgot the name of that account. You know what I'm talking about. So, you have to have a PlayStation, what do they call that? Man, that's going to bug the crap out of me. PlayStation Access? PlayStation... Man, I cannot remember that. Well, shoot. Well, anyways, you have to have the PlayStation account. And I'm assuming that it functions kind of like it does on the PlayStation, whereas if they offer free games, I'm assuming you can download it to the PlayStation TV. Otherwise, you do have to buy and download the games to the unit. Now, the unit does come with Bluetooth capability that will support the DualShock 3 and 4 controllers. It will support Bluetooth-ready headsets and headphones, as well as keyboards. So that's kind of cool. It'll help with the chatting aspect of it. It has a micro... Oh, good grief. One of those micro XDSD card slots in it, because it does come with only 1 gig of internal memory. So, I mean, that's it. So you'll probably need the card to store your game saves on, and maybe even the games themselves. Now, they do offer a couple different packages at launch. These are, let me see if I can find that here. These are the base model, which is just PlayStation TV, as well as the PSTV Ultimate or Limited Edition Bundle, that's what they call it. So the Limited Edition Bundle comes with, of course, the PSTV. It comes with a DualShock 3 controller and 8 gig memory card. There you go. It also comes with the Lego Movie video game. Of course, it comes with a voucher, so you have to create your account and download it. Then, of course, AC adapter, power cord, an HDMI cable, and a USB cable. Let's see here. This is kind of neat, because if you're familiar with any kind of network equipment, this thing looks like just a really small router. It measures 13.6 millimeters for thickness, 105 millimeters height, times 65 millimeters length. And weighs approximately 110 grams, which is 0.24 pounds. We do have a link to this in the show notes. Check it out, because they show a side-by-side comparison of the DualShock 3 controller sitting beside the actual unit. And the DualShock 3 controller is actually a little bit bigger than the PSTV itself, if that gives you any idea. Like, you could very conceivably slip this thing in your pocket like a phone, and it wouldn't seem weird. I mean, as far as the size. So since it does have HDMI, it will support 480, 720, and 1080i output. It will not support content for 4K gaming. Now, you know, that's pretty new, so what do you expect? There is no analog video or audio output on this thing. It is Bluetooth and HDMI, so you'll have to live with that. Let's see here. You will create two different accounts. You'll have to. One is a master account. The other is a, I believe they call it just a sub account. The master account is what I was talking about, your true big PlayStation Network account. The sub account, you'll only create that if you're buying this for your kid or you are under 18. It will automatically stick you into the sub account category. Now, what's the difference? The master account is exactly what you're probably used to on the PlayStation Network. You add funds to your wallet, you shop, you buy, download, whatever. The sub account cannot create a wallet, cannot add funds to the wallet. Essentially, they're trying to, I think, put a, you know, it's a little bit of security. It's also a slight bit of parental controls, which are applicable on a sub account. I think they're wanting to really curb, you know, we see it in the news all the time about the kids that get on their parents' iPad and they play the little games that have in-game transactions and they end up blowing $4,000, $5,000, $6,000 buying coins or gems or whatever. I think they're really trying to curb that by, you know, just out of the box, sub accounts, you can't buy anything. Someone has to log it to the master account and buy it for you. So that's pretty neat. Little fiscal responsibility and whatnot on PlayStation's part. I don't have kids, but I think this is a good idea and fully support it. Now, of course, one of the big questions is, well, two big questions is, first of all, how much is it? It's $100. So not too shabby, actually. Not too shabby. $100, that's American, and $100 Canadian. The limited edition deal is $139 US and Canadian dollars. So $40, you get the Lego Movie video game, as well as, you know, you actually get the 8 gig card and some cables and things like that. So weigh your options and whatnot. The second big question is, what games are available? Okay, once again, we have a link in the show notes. I'm not even going to attempt to tell you what games are available, because when you follow the link to the page, there's 150 games at launch available for download. Are any of them free? I couldn't begin to tell you. Probably not. But out of the box, ready to go, 150 games available for purchase, streaming, downloading. That's pretty good. That's not too bad. And those do include current games. So, hey, check that out. That is pretty cool. If the PS4 is out of your price range, then this just might be the way to go. So, as I said multiple times, we'll have a link in the show notes, the PlayStation TV. Pretty cool stuff. Alrighty, I believe that almost wraps up Jay's portion of news. I have two little items here I wanted to just throw out and remind everyone. One of these is, Jay is going to freaking love this. We've talked about EverQuest. EverQuest 1, EverQuest 2, and you're probably like, ugh, as you reach for the fast forward button. But EQ2, as we've said, is dropping an expansion in the upcoming weeks. And to prep all access members, which that's where you pay the $15 a month to Sony and you gain membership access to all of their games, they're offering, beginning today, as a matter of fact, today at noon, I think it started, through November 10th, 11:59 p.m., a 25% boost in XP in EverQuest 2. This is to everything. Alternate Advancement XP, Trade Skill XP, and Adventuring XP. Adventuring XP is PvE, doing quests, turning them in, da-da-da-da-da. 25% boost in an effort to help you take a character, boost them up to 100 for the upcoming expansion. That's pretty cool. Jay and I both are paying members at the moment for Sony, and as we've said, about the only game we're currently playing on Sony is EQ2. You know, let's go back to what Jay's been playing this week with his Ranger. Also, they will, all access members, or let me rephrase this, everyone who plays EQ2 will receive double Etma, which is the currency for doing the Tears of Vishon missions and that expansion's specific quest. All access members who do the Tears of Vishon content will receive double the double allotment, so four times the Etma. That's pretty sweet. Let's see, the expansion drops November 25th, and all accessors who pre-order the expansion, you get a two-week head start. As I said, the XP boost, 25% to everything, starts today, October 7th, 2014, and runs through November 10th, 11:59 p.m. Cool stuff. Alrighty, and I have a little bit of SWTOR news. Jay and I, we've talked about this. We both used to play it fairly heavily. We've dropped out since. Last show, I mentioned, I believe it was last show, that they are doing a full-blown digital expansion, much like Rise of the Hutt Cartel years ago. They are doing the Shadow of Revan. I had said that this is a Revan-based expansion. So, in preparation for that, if you are a subbing member of SWTOR, Star Wars The Old Republic, and you pre-order the Shadow of Revan expansion, you get some perks. You get a 12 times XP boost. Let's say that again. If you pre-order Shadow of Revan and you are a subscribing member, account holder to SWTOR, Star Wars The Old Republic, you get a 12 times XP boost when doing class missions. Once again, this is to help you pump up to 55 for the expansion. What's in the expansion? There's actually quite a bit. Some of the little key points I thought that were kind of cool is that if you pre-order, you get a statue of Revan to place in your stronghold, which is your house. Let's see here. You get, for ordering the expansion, you get 5 more levels, which I believe pushes you to 60. I talked about listening, you know, a couple episodes ago, listening to a podcast where someone has a friend who's a voiceover actor for SWTOR and how they've been busy. Well, this is why. There are tons more quests from 55 to 60 when the expansion drops, if you buy it. They are just like every other quest in the game. They're cutscened, they're voiceover acted, they're ready to go. Two new planets. We get two new planets, which, you know, Jay and I think we've said neither one of us actually reached max level in SWTOR when we played. So I don't think we really got to see every planet, but I know that is a big thing for a lot of people. More planets, more planets, more planets. Well, we've got two. Of course, there are tons of quests, missions, whatever, on each of the planets for you to explore. Two new planets. Subscribers with pre-order will gain a week of early access to the game, to the expansion when it drops, which is December 8th of this year, 2014. However, if you are a subscriber and you pre-order the expansion today, starting today, the XP boost kicks in today. So no waiting for, the week before you get the XP boost. Nope. You get that today. That's pretty cool. Currently, I'm only subscribed to one MMO, which is the Sony. I might have to re-up the SWTOR about this. I'll see what Jay's going to do, because I like playing with him, and it's nice to have a buddy tagging along. So we've got a link in the show notes. Check it out. There are different things, whether you sub and pre-order or just pre-order. Oh, one more thing I thought was really cool. If you pre-order the expansion, Shadow of Revan, if you don't already have it, they include Rise of the Hutt Cartel. I thought that was pretty cool. I don't have Rise of the Hutt Cartel, so I know Jay does, because he has the he has the training statues that pop up, and I think he has some kind of hut thing too, but I thought that was pretty cool. I think those are good benefits, and I actually just might re-up and resub to SWTOR, so good stuff. Check it out. Let's move on to geeky stuff. That's going to wrap us up for news. Geeky stuff, as Jay said, and what he's been doing this week, he bought the box set for D&D 5th edition, so he included a link in geeky stuff because the 5th edition, of course, Monster Manual dropped. And it's actually getting a lot of good reviews. So the link that he posted is to io9.com, And the guy, I can't even pronounce his last name, it's Ed Grabanowski. I'm butchering that Polish name. I can't even begin to pronounce it. But anyways, this guy reviewed the 5th edition Monster Manual, and he likes it. He is liking it. He says it's very much a throwback to the Monster Manuals we're used to seeing. It includes a lot of iconic and classic monsters, to include beholders, dragons, of course, owlbears, gelatinous cubes, things like that. A lot of the almost stereotypical monsters that we're used to seeing and that come to mind when we think of Dungeons and Dragons. He's, like I said, he likes it. He's enjoying it. He includes pictures of a couple pages that I'm sure are available for press release and don't violate copyright. But it looks nice. It does look nice. I'm just kind of scrolling through this. We have a link. You can check it out in the show notes. You know, he throws up some pictures for some iconic monsters you might recognize. For instance, the Boule or Boulette, which is the land shark, the owlbear, the Death Knight. I like that. The Etten, the Mind Flayer. There's the entry on the Tarrasque and the Troll. Pretty cool. It's laid out very nicely. The pages, it's got a nice picture for each monster. A description, a very clean and flowing, in my opinion, stat block for the monster. This isn't too bad. I initially thought, you know, I was going to buy the core books, which are the players, the DM's guide, and the monster manual. And then I kind of, you know, I don't know, got a little "you kids get off my lawn" type attitude, but I badmouthed it. No, I don't want to, blah, 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 blah. But, you know, I think I might pick it up now. I guess probably what I'll do is I'll wait and see this weekend how our little 5th edition intro teaser game goes. But based off what I'm seeing here, it looks good. It does look good. It looks like a good book. I know they're big. They are expensive. As Jay and I have said multiple times, 50 bucks a pop for all three books. That's 150 when you buy them as is. Now, as we say, as we always do, support your local brick and mortar gaming store. They're small businesses. They need your support, especially for our hobby. But if you don't have one close by, or if 50 bucks a whack is just absolutely not doable, Amazon, you know, usually has these things for 30 bucks. So, and that's kind of the price of the old 5th edition and even some of the 2nd edition books. So, I like it. Like I said, it does look good. I kind of like it. I just might pick it up. Now, if I have to say anything bad, here's one thing I'm saying. The guy that wrote the article includes the page for a fiend, which is a devil, but not a demon, a devil called the Cambion, or Cambion, which I'm not familiar with. But under the description of it, you know, it's the offspring of a succubus and a human, usually. So it has pawns of the mighty. They're forced to serve their parent. This and that. The spawn of Grest, a demon lord, is fond of procreating with humanoids and does this, and here's what they are. But then it has an article that says born to be bad. Talks about how they, no matter what they may feel, eventually their fiendish demonic heritage usually takes over. So I'm kind of hoping that that this isn't some kind of focus group testing. Well, how can we relate to young people? Born to be bad. I'm kind of hoping that's not the feel and flow that we see, but I guess we'll give it a shot and check it out. Like I said, you kids get off my lawn. Maybe that's all that is. Alrighty, guys. Well, thanks for hanging with me. As I said, Jay kind of got slapped down by real life, as he and I often do. And more than likely, he'll be with us on next week's episode. Be sure to follow me on PlayStation Network, Steam, and Raptor, the in-game tracking service, under Teletech 77062. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, and our Gmail account will be given out by Blacklace on our outro. And I guess we're going to just kind of wrap it up for this week. So thanks a lot for listening, and you guys have a good one. Yeah.
Thanks for tuning in to tonight's broadcast of the Pulse Gamecast, a production of Holosuite Media. Join us next week at Tuesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And be sure to check holosuitemedia.com, iTunes, and Stitcher Satellite Radio for our remastered shows and more. You can follow us on Twitter at the Pulse Gamecast. Or if you have any questions or comments, please send an email to thepulsegamecast@gmail.com.